445. 46. The resuscitation of man from the dead and his entrance into eternal life. When the body is no longer able to perform the bodily functions in the natural world that correspond to the spirit's thoughts and affections, which the spirit has from the spiritual world, man is said to die. This takes place when the respiration of the lungs and the beatings of the heart cease. But the man does not die. He is merely separated from the bodily part that was of use to him in the world, while the man himself continues to live. It is said that the man himself continues to live, since man is not a man because of his body but because of his spirit. For it is the spirit that thinks in man, and thought with affection is what constitutes man. Evidently, then, the death of man is merely his passing from one world into another. And this is why in the word in its internal sense death signifies resurrection and continuation of life. In the word death signifies resurrection, for when man dies his life still goes on. 446. There is an inmost communication of the spirit with the breathing and with the beating of the heart. The spirit's thought communicating with the breathing, and its affection, which is of love, with the heart. Consequently, when these two motions cease in the body, there is at once a separation. These two motions, the respiration of the lungs and the beating of heart, are the very bond on the sundering of which the spirit is left to itself, and the body, being then deprived of the life of its spirit, grows cold and begins to decay. This inmost communication of the spirit of man is with the respiration and with the heart, because on these all vital motions depend, not only in general but in every particular. The heart corresponds to the will, thus to the affection, which belongs to the love, while the respiration of the lungs corresponds to the understanding, thus to the thought. From this the heart in the word signifies the will and love. The soul signifies understanding, faith, and truth. Therefore from the soul and from the heart signifies what is from the understanding, faith, and truth, and what is from the will, love, and good. The correspondence of the heart and lungs with the greatest man, or heaven. The beating of the heart and the respiration of the lungs reign in the body throughout, and flow mutually into every part. 447. After the separation, the spirit of man continues in the body for a short time, but only until the heart's action has wholly ceased, which happens variously in accord with the disease condition that causes death, with some the motion of the heart continuing for some time, with others not so long. As soon as this motion ceases, the man is resuscitated. But this is done by the Lord alone. Resuscitation means the drawing forth of the spirit from the body, and its introduction into the spiritual world. This is commonly called the resurrection. The spirit is not separated from the body until the motion of the heart has ceased, for the reason that the heart corresponds to the affection of love, which is the very life of man. For it is from love that everyone has vital heat. Consequently, as long as this conjunction continues, correspondence continues, and thereby the life of the spirit in the body. Love is the being of the life of man. Love is spiritual heat, and therefore the very vital itself of man. Affection is a continuation of love. 448. How this resuscitation is effected has both been told to me and shown to me in living experience. The actual experience was granted to me that I might have a complete knowledge of the process. 449. As to the senses of the body, I was brought into a state of insensibility, thus nearly into the state of the dying, but with the interior life and thought remaining unimpaired, in order that I might perceive and retain in the memory the things that happened to me, and that happened to those that are resuscitated from the dead. I perceived that the respiration of the body was almost wholly taken away, but the interior respiration of the spirit went on in connection with a slight and tacit respiration of the body. Then at first a communication of the pulse of the heart with the celestial kingdom was established, because that kingdom corresponds to the heart in man. Angels from that kingdom were seen, some at a distance, and two sitting near my head. Thus all my own affection was taken away, although thought and perception continued. I was in this state for some hours. Then the spirits that were around me withdrew, thinking that I was dead, and an aromatic odor like that of an embalmed body was perceived. For when the celestial angels are present, everything pertaining to the corpse is perceived as aromatic. And when spirits perceive this, they cannot approach. And in this way evil spirits are kept away from man's spirit when he is being introduced into eternal life. The angels seated at my head were silent, merely sharing their thoughts with mine. And when their thoughts are received, the angels know that the spirit of man is in a state in which it can be drawn forth from the body. This sharing of their thoughts was effected by looking into my face, for in this way in heaven thoughts are shared. As my thought and perception continued, that I might know and remember how resuscitation is effected, I perceived the angels first tried to ascertain what my thought was, whether it was like the thought of those who are dying, which is usually about eternal life, also that they wish to keep my mind in that thought. Afterwards I was told that the spirit of man is held in its last thought when the body expires, until it returns to the thoughts that are from its general or ruling affection in the world. Especially was I permitted to see and feel that there was a pulling and drawing forth, as it were, of the interiors of my mind, thus of my spirit, from the body, and I was told that this is from the Lord, and that the resurrection is thus effected. The heart corresponds to the Lord's celestial kingdom, the lungs to his spiritual kingdom. 450. The celestial angels who are with the one that is resuscitated do not withdraw from him, because they love everyone. But when the spirit comes into such a state that he can no longer be affiliated with celestial angels, he longs to get away from them. When this takes place, angels from the Lord's spiritual kingdom come, through whom is given the use of light, for before this he saw nothing, but merely thought. I was shown how this is done. The angels appeared to roll off, as it were, a coat from the left eye towards the bridge of the nose, that the eye might be opened and be enabled to see. This is only an appearance, but to the spirit it seemed to be really done. When the coat thus seems to have been rolled off, there is a slight sense of light, but very dim, like what is seen through the eyelids on first awakening from sleep. To me this dim light took on a heavenly hue, but I was told afterwards that the color varies. Then something is felt to be gently rolled off from the face, and when this is done, spiritual thought is awakened. This rolling off from the face is also an appearance, which represents the spirit's passing from natural thought into spiritual thought. The angels are extremely careful that only such ideas as savor of love shall proceed from the one resuscitated. They now tell him that he is a spirit. When he has come into the enjoyment of light, the spiritual angels render to the new spirit every service he can possibly desire in that state, and teach him about the things of the other life so far as he can comprehend them. But if he has no wish to be taught, the spirit longs to get away from the company of the angels. Nevertheless, the angels do not withdraw from him, but he separates himself from them. For the angels love everyone, and desire nothing so much as to render service, to teach, and to lead into heaven. This constitutes their highest delight. When the spirit has thus withdrawn, he is received by good spirits, and as long as he continues in their company, everything possible is done for him. But if he had lived such a life in the world as would prevent his enjoying the company of the good, he longs to get away from the good. And this experience is repeated until he comes into association with such as are in entire harmony with his life in the world. And with such he finds his own life, and what is surprising, he then leads a life like that which he led in the world. 451. This opening state of man's life after death lasts only a few days. How he is afterwards led from one state to another, and finally either into heaven or into hell, will be told in what follows. This, too, I have been permitted to learn by much experience. 452. I have talked with some on the third day after their decease, when the process described above had been completed, especially with three whom I had known in the world, to whom I mentioned that arrangements were now being made for burying their bodies. I said, for burying them, on hearing which they were smitten with a kind of surprise, saying that they were alive, and that the thing that had served them in the world was what was being buried. Afterwards they wondered greatly that they had not believed in such a life after death while they lived in the body, and especially that scarcely any within the church so believed. Those that have not believed in the world in any life of the soul after the life of the body are greatly ashamed when they find themselves to be alive. But those that have confirmed themselves in that disbelief seek affiliation with their like, and are separated from those that have had faith. Such are for the most part attached to some infernal society, because they have also denied the divine and have despised the truths of the church. For so far as anyone confirms himself against the eternal life of his soul, he confirms himself also against whatever pertains to heaven and the church. 453. Man after death is in a complete human form. It has already been shown in several previous chapters that the form of the spirit of man is the human form. That is, that the spirit is a man even in form, especially where it is shown that every angel has a complete human form, that in respect to his interiors every man is a spirit, and that the angels in heaven are from the human race. This can be seen still more clearly from the fact that it is by virtue of his spirit, and not by virtue of his body, that man is a man, and that the bodily form is added to the spirit in accordance with the spirit's form, and not the reverse, for it is in accordance with its own form that the spirit is clothed with a body. Consequently, the spirit of man acts into every part of the body, even the minutest, insomuch that if any part is not actuated by the spirit, or the spirit is not active in it, it does not live. Anyone can see that this is true from this fact alone, that thought and will actuate all things and each thing of the body with such entire command that everything concurs. And anything that does not concur is not a part of the body, but is cast out as something without life and thought, and will belong, not to the body, but to the spirit of man. A spirit that has been loosed from the body or the spirit in another man is not visible in the human form to man, because the body's organ of sight, or its eye, so far as it sees in the world, is a material organ, and what is material can see only what is material, while what is spiritual sees what is spiritual. When, therefore, the material part of the eye becomes darkened and is deprived of its cooperation with the spiritual, The eye sees spirits in their own form, which is the human form, not only the spirits that are in the spiritual world, but also the spirit of another man while it is yet in its body. 454. The form of the spirit is the human form because man is created in respect to his spirit in the form of heaven. For all things of heaven and of the order of heaven are brought together in the things that constitute the mind of man. And from this comes his capacity to receive intelligence and wisdom. Whether you say the capacity to receive intelligence and wisdom or the capacity to receive heaven, it is the same thing, as can be seen from what has been shown about the light and heat of heaven, the form of heaven, the wisdom of angels, and in the chapter that the form of heaven as a whole and in part reflects a single man, and this by virtue of the divine human of the Lord, which is the source of heaven and its form. Man is the being into whom are brought together all things of divine order, and by creation he is divine order in form. So far as a man lives in accordance with divine order, he is seen in the other life as a man, complete and beautiful. 455. That which has now been said can be understood by the rational man, for he can see it from the connection of causes and from truths in their order. But it is not understood by a man who is not rational, and for several reasons, the chief of which is that he has no desire to understand it because it is opposed to the falsities that he has made his truths. And he that is unwilling to understand for this reason has closed to his rational faculty the way to heaven, although that way can still be opened whenever the will's resistance ceases. That man is able to understand truths and be rational whenever he so wishes has been made clear to me by much experience. Evil spirits that have become irrational in the world by rejecting the divine and the truths of the church and confirming themselves against them have frequently been turned by divine power towards those who were in the light of truth, and they then comprehended all things as the angels did, and acknowledged them to be true, and also that they comprehended them all. But the moment these spirits relapsed into themselves, and turned back to the love of their will, they had no comprehension of truths and affirmed the opposite. I have also heard certain dwellers in hell saying that they knew and perceived that which they did to be evil and that which they thought to be false, but that they were unable to resist the delight of their love, that is, their will, and that it is their will that drives their thought to see evil as good and falsity as truth. Evidently, then, those that are in falsity from evil have the ability to understand and be rational, but have no wish to, and they have no wish to for the reason that they have loved falsities more than truths, because these agree with the evils in which they are. To love and to will is the same thing, for what a man wills he loves, and what he loves he wills, because the state of men is such that they are able to understand truths if they wish to. I have been permitted to confirm spiritual truths, which are truths of heaven and the church, even by reasonings, and this in order that the falsities by which the rational mind in many has been closed up may be dispersed by reasonings, and thus the eye may perhaps in some degree be opened, for to confirm spiritual goods by reasonings is permitted to all that are in truths. Who could ever understand the word from the sense of its letter, unless he saw from an enlightened reason the truths it contains? Is not this the source of so many heresies from the same word? The truths of doctrine of the church derived from the word must be the starting point, and these must first be acknowledged, and afterwards it is permissible to consult knowledges. Thus it is permissible for those that are in an affirmative state towards the truths of faith to confirm them rationally by knowledges, but it is not permissible for those who are in a negative state. It is in accordance with divine order to enter rationally from spiritual truths into knowledges, which are natural truths, but not to enter from the latter into the former, because spiritual influx into natural things is possible, but not natural or physical influx into spiritual things. 456. That the spirit of man, when it has been loosed from the body, is still a man and in a like form, has been proved to me by the daily experience of many years, for I have seen such and have listened to them 1,000 times, and have talked with them about this fact, that men in the world do not believe them to be men, and that those that do believe this are regarded by the learned as simple. Spirits are grieved at heart that such ignorance still continues in the world, and above all within the church. But this belief, they said, had emanated chiefly from the learned, who had thought about the soul from ideas derived from bodily sense, and from such ideas the only conception they formed of the soul was as being mere thought. And when this is regarded apart from any subject as its containant and source, it is merely a fleeting breath of pure ether that must needs be dissipated when the body dies. But as the church believes from the word in the immortality of the soul, they are compelled to ascribe to it something vital, such as pertains to thought, but they deny to it anything of sense, such as man possesses, until it has again been joined to the body. On this opinion the doctrine in regard to the resurrection is based, with the belief that the soul and body will be joined again at the time of the final judgment. For this reason, when anyone thinks about the soul in accordance with this doctrine and these conjectures, he has no conception that it is a spirit, and in a human form. And still further, scarcely anyone at this day knows what the spiritual is, and still less that spiritual beings, as all spirits and angels are, have any human form. Consequently, nearly all that go from this world are greatly surprised to find that they are alive, and are as much men as before, that they see, hear, and speak, and that their body enjoys the sense of touch as before, with no difference whatever. And when they cease to be astonished at themselves, they are astonished that the church should know nothing about this state of men after death. Thus nothing about heaven or hell, when in fact all that have ever lived in the world are in the other life and live as men. And as they wondered also why this had not been disclosed to man by visions, being an essential of the faith of the church, they were told from heaven that although this might have been done, since nothing is easier when it is the Lord's good pleasure, yet those that have confirmed themselves in the opposite falsities would not believe even if they themselves should behold it. Also that there is danger in confirming anything by visions when men are in falsities, for they would then first believe and afterwards deny, and thus would profane the truth itself, since to believe and afterwards deny is to profane, and those who profane truths are cast down into the lowest and most grievous of all the hells. This danger is what is meant by the Lord's words: "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, and understand with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them." And that those that are in falsities would not believe is meant by these words. Abraham said to the rich man in hell, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." But he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one came to them from the dead, they would be converted." But Abraham said to him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe though one should rise from the dead." Profanation is the mixing of good and evil and of truth and falsity in man. Only those can profane truth and good, or the holy things of the Word and the Church, who first acknowledge them, and still more who live according to them, and who afterwards recede from the belief and reject it, and live for themselves in the world. If man after repentance of heart relapses to former evils he profanes, and his latter state is then worse than his former. Those that have not acknowledged holy things, still less those that have no knowledge of them, cannot profane them. The heathen who are out of the church and do not have the word cannot profane it. On this account interior truths were not disclosed to the Jews, for if they had been disclosed and acknowledged that people would have profaned them. The lot of profaners in the other life is the worst of all, because not only the good and truth they have acknowledged, but also their evil and falsity remain, and as these cling together, the life is rent asunder. Consequently, most careful provision is made by the Lord to prevent profanation. 457. When the spirit of man first enters the world of spirits, which takes place shortly after his resuscitation, as described above, his face and his tone of voice resemble those he had in the world, because he is then in the state of his exteriors, and his interiors are not as yet uncovered. This is man's first state after death, but subsequently his face is changed, and becomes entirely different, resembling his ruling affection or ruling love, in conformity with which the interiors of his mind had been while he was in the world and his spirit while it was in the body. For the face of a man's spirit differs greatly from the face of his body. The face of his body is from his parents, but the face of his spirit is from his affection, and is an image of it. When the life of the spirit in the body is ended, and its exteriors are laid aside and its interiors disclosed, it comes into this affection. This is man's second state. I have seen some that have recently arrived from the world, and have recognized them from their face and speech, but seeing them afterwards I did not recognize them. Those that had been in good affections appeared with beautiful faces, but those that had been in evil affections with misshapen faces, for man's spirit, viewed in itself, is nothing but his affection, and the face is its outward form. Another reason why faces are changed is that in the other life no one is permitted to counterfeit affections that are not his own, and thus assume looks that are contrary to his love. All in the other life are brought into such a state as to speak as they think, and to manifest in their looks and gestures the inclinations of their will. And because of this the faces of all become forms and images of their affections, and in consequence all that have known each other in the world know each other in the world of spirits, but not in heaven nor in hell. The face is so formed as to correspond with the interiors, the correspondence of the face and its expressions with the affections of the mind. With the angels of heaven the face makes one with the interiors that belong to the mind. Therefore in the word the face signifies the interiors that belong to the mind, that is, to the affection and thought. In what manner the influx from the brain into the face has been changed in process of time, and with it the face itself as regards its correspondence with the interiors. 458. The faces of hypocrites are changed more slowly than those of others, because by practice they had formed a habit of so managing their interiors as to imitate good affections. Consequently, for a long time they appear not unbeautiful, but as that which they had assumed is gradually put off, and the interiors of the mind are brought into accord with the form of their affections, they become after a while more misshapen than others. Hypocrites are such as have been accustomed to talk like angels, but interiorly have acknowledged nature alone and not the divine, and have therefore denied what pertains to heaven and the church. 459. It should be known that everyone's human form after death is the more beautiful in proportion as he has more interiorly loved divine truths, and lived according to them. For everyone's interiors are opened and formed in accordance with his love and life. Therefore the more interior the affection is, the more like heaven it is, and in consequence the more beautiful the face is. This is why the angels in the inmost heaven are the most beautiful, for they are forms of celestial love. But those that have loved divine truths more exteriorly, and thus have lived in accordance with them in a more external way, are less beautiful. For exterior affections only shine forth from their faces, and through these no interior heavenly love shines. Consequently nothing of the form of heaven as it is in itself. There is seen in the faces of such something comparatively obscure, not vivified by anything of interior life shining through it. In a word, all perfection increases toward interiors and decreases toward exteriors. And as perfection increases and decreases, so does beauty. I have seen angelic faces of the third heaven of such radiance that no painter with all his art could possibly give any such light to his colors as to equal a thousandth part of the brightness and life that shone forth from their countenances. But the faces of the angels of the lowest heaven may in some measure be equaled. 460. In conclusion, I will mention a certain arcanum hitherto unknown to anyone. Namely, that every good and truth that goes forth from the Lord and makes heaven is in the human form. And this not only as a whole and in what is greatest, but also in every part and what is least, also that this form affects everyone who receives good and truth from the Lord, and causes everyone who is in heaven to be in the human form in accordance with his reception of good and truth. It is in consequence of this that heaven is like itself in general and in particular, and that the human form is the form of the whole, of every society, and of every angel, to which let it be added that it is the form of the least things of thought derived from heavenly love with the angels. No man, however, can easily comprehend this arcanum, but it is clearly comprehended by the angels, because they are in the light of heaven.